Welcome, ladies and gentle folk, to another cram-packed informational episode of Shadow Running on Empty. And this week, as you can tell by me being the first to introduce us, doing things a little bit differently, and to help expand upon that, here's Easy.
Well, hi, everybody. I know this is going to throw everyone off in that usually I'm the last person that starts talking at the intro to then take us into the topic, but not today. Today, that is the grand duty for our other member.
Duty.
Tyler, what do you got for us?
Greetings! I am the wielder of the grand duty, weaver of masterful fates, forger of futures renewed. Hey guys, how's it going? Hey everybody. Hey you. I didn't see you come in there. It's me, Tyler. But the reason I am hosting this here podcast episode is we are returning to Critical Hits presents Shadowrunning on Empty, Shadowrun IRL, aka CHPSROESRIRL, aka Six World Closer Every Day, Six World Today, Your Dystopian Future.
However you want to slice it.
Yeah, slice it, dice it, you know, put it in a pie.
Whatever.
And we will be crammed packed with information because, much like the line episode, cold air in. What is it? Hot air in, cold air out?
No, cold air in,
hot air out.
Yes, you want to keep it cool in the desert.
Cool in the desert. No. We want it to be hot. The scorching of the line.
Not with your giant mirror in the desert.
Yes. And much like a giant mirror, folks, there's this show called Black Mirror, you see. And this is, hey, follow me on this journey, y'all.
I'm ready.
One thing that Black Mirror likes to do is take a look at the dystopian future that is technology. But I will take you back to the far-flung past of June 2023, one of our premier megacorps of the world. That's right. You know them. You love them. You got to have them. Apple. I know we were all going to say it.
I disagree with two out of those three statements you made about that company, but that's fine.
Megacorp?
Nope, not that one.
Love them and gotta have them?
Those would be the ones.
Well, here's the thing. They know you need them, and what they need is for you to partake in the future. You see, we have the internets. We have the Matrix. We always go back to the idea of looking at the internet in front of your very eyes, pulling information from the interwebs. But what if you could do that while also wearing ski goggles? Huh?
And here I thought you were about to try and sell me a timeshare.
Oh, we'll share some time, all right. Because we got to open up our eyes, man. 2020 vision, 2023 vision. I'm losing this metaphor. But what I see is the vision. And this, my friends, is the Apple Vision Pro. That's right. The Apple Vision Pro is the topic of today's episode. And for those who are not in the know, the Apple Vision Pro is an upcoming mixed reality headset developed by Apple. It was announced this past June for their Worldwide Developers Conference. And what it essentially is an AR headset. Much like we've seen with one Google Glass, except it looks like a ski mask. And what it is essentially integrating their apps and all the technology they have in a headset. And part of the, I guess, fun of it is that it has several cameras inside of it and outside, from down below it to the cameras on your face to the cameras right in front of you. And at first I was wrong in thinking that this AR headset had translucency to it. This is not the case, because this VR headset is meant to project your apps in virtual space or actual space, augmented space, I guess. And if you see videos of this, it shows people talking to you while you're wearing the headset. And I was like, oh, it just, you know, it's translucent and you're just looking at the person looking at you. But for those who don't know, the Apple Vision Pro has this feature where they can take many pictures of your face and make a doppelganger of you of sorts, so that when you're wearing this headset and you're having, say, Zoom calls or any kind of video call-esque thing, they're not talking to you. They're talking to your avatar, and it's supposed to look like your actual face. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a nightmare.
It's a fucking nightmare. Yeah. If you ever see people like the dead eyes of a video game character, that's what they're going to see. And yeah. Sure, it's going to have like your feet. It's going to like gesticulate like you, but the eyes, dude.
Imagine a world where every character is a Bethesda NPC.
Every single person.
That's what Apple wants for us.
I used to be a drone like you, but then I took a stapler to the knee.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, in the video where they introduce it, the person who's wearing it, someone walks up to them and starts talking to them, and you see the person who's wearing it, you see their eyes, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's just transparent. As it turns out, that is just it projecting your avatar into the eyes. So it's like you are looking at them, but they're looking back at your virtual shark eyes.
They're black like a doll's eyes.
Exactly. But the Apple Vision Pro is something that's supposed to, in their words, make augmented reality more accessible to the common people. You know, the common people that have X amount of dollars. But
yeah, what is that X amount, by the way, for people that may not be familiar?
Yeah, I was going to ask if y'all knew. I have it here and I know it.
I'm trying to remember.
Okay.
I think I remember.
No.
I think okay. I remember what it is.
Okay, well, easy. I want you to take a guess.
Remember that this is a premium Apple product, is what I will say.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's not coming out
until
next year.
It's not supposed to be coming out until next year.
It was their first product they announced, their first new product since their watch as well.
Well, I'm going to go in the realm of like, $1,500.
That's pretty solid. Austin, do you have, like, you pretty confident about what you remember?
Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong, but yes. Is this product not a recommended price tag of $3,500 USD?
That is correct. That is the introductory price is $3,499 smackaroos.
No.
Oh my God.
Yes, sir.
I remember when Google couldn't give Google Glass away for free, and Apple wants $3,500 for AR tech.
Why? Yeah. Why?
Because, you see, here's the thing, too. You know how I've been saying, like, AR, I've been saying augmented reality, virtual reality. No. Apple markets this as not any of those, but it markets it as a spatial computer where digital media is integrated with the real world and physical inputs, such as motion gestures, eye tracking, and voice input can be used to interact with the system. It's a computer. You're paying for a computer on your eyes.
I mean, that makes sense for how they can put that price tag on it, because they're calling it a computer.
Yeah. And I will say, part of the appeal of this is that you can essentially tune out your surroundings, for better or worse. In the video, they show people watching movies, and there's a little dial on the top, so you could basically alter how much or how little outside input is getting fed to you. So they show, like, they're watching a movie and they crank this dial while they're on a plane, and you just see the screen they're watching, the surroundings of the airplane they're in just fade away, which is kind of cool. And they even show someone wearing it when they're hanging around with their kids, so they can be recording constantly for, you know, memories and such, so they can relive it later in holographic form of sorts. One thing I had to find out earlier was how much it weighs, because apparently it's lightweight and cool, so it's not going to be melting your face when you're wearing it.
It is pretty cool.
It's so cool.
Apple. It has to be.
It's so slick. It's so fly. You could look like you're skiing, but all the time, you know?
Oh, because that's what I want to do all day, every day, is look like I'm skiing.
Yeah. Think about all the friends you'll make when you're walking around in public with this thing. And it's, you know.
Yeah, and not the random person that's going to run up to you because you're wearing a 3,500 piece of hardware on your face and can't see them, and then jack it and just run away.
Right, right. Well, okay.
Because, come on, let's be realistic about what's going to happen here.
This was something that I was trying to see, because the way that they describe it to you is that if someone walks up to you or someone's talking to you, it's supposed to, one, if they're walking up to you and you're in like privacy mode or whatever, you're watching something, the screen is just opaque. So the idea is they're going to be like, oh, they're busy, when in reality they can't see anything. So wait.
So basically what you're saying is everyone is now going to know when you're watching porn.
Uh-huh.
Well,
they sure are.
That opaque visor is down. I wonder what you're doing in privacy mode.
Is that all there is to watch in 3D? I mean, yes. But,
oh, come on. You know people are going to do it
in privacy mode. Sure. In privacy mode, that is absolutely all there is to watch in public privacy mode.
I just mean privacy mode is in the screen goes opaque. It's not like, warning, do not approach this individual.
I would assume that the pants down would be the warning, do not approach this individual.
I feel like there's a lot of warnings.
If I can't have some type of proximity alarm that goes off that just goes, warning, horny on main when somebody approaches me in privacy mode, I don't want this product.
Warning, killing my vibe. Warning, killing my vibe. Oh, imagine because there are speakers built into it, and they're supposed to be only for your ears, so they go over your ears. Imagine you have that scenario of someone watching something inappropriate on the laptop and their headphone gets pulled out, put on a VR headset, and they can't escape it.
I can't get away from it.
Help. Don't look at me.
Everybody's judging me, but I can't see it.
but I was going to say, it's supposed to like alert you or something, or clear up the privacy mode when someone walks up to you to talk to you, so that you're not just caught unawares, because they also tout it as being like, you can still talk to people and be included.
it's supposed to have like a detection mode where if somebody's like trying to talk to you, it'll clear the screen so you can see out of it normally,
and that way you get the warning. But then would that happen every time, like somebody just walks up to you and it just shuts you off, so you're in privacy and you're like, yeah, this is great, and all of a sudden somebody walks up, oh god.
Well, okay, so here's the thing that I don't understand is, like, this is having to only be under the expectation that somebody's going to be, like, sitting on a train or sitting on a plane using this thing and you need to walk up and approach them, right? Because, like, nobody's going to just be walking down the street with, you know, opaque mode on because they're watching a YouTube video while they're walking down the street watching their Apple Vision Pro, right? Like, that can't be the actual expectations of what this thing is going to be utilized for.
Well, I'm imagining that because you can adjust the display, that you could have it showing you something in the corner, but you're still walking and it's still projecting what's in front of you.
I don't see how that would be able to be, like, to get around any type of safety regulation, though.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Like,
yeah, you can't. Just... There's no way you could walk and have privacy mode on.
Yeah,
and be outside.
Or like, there's no way that you can drive with these on. Like, period. Like, just full stop. Like, imagine trying to drive and you have like a fucking Twitch stream in the bottom right corner of your vision at all times. It's like, that is the most distracting thing ever.
But I guess that's like the extreme, and I imagine it'd be like car mode for some apps, where as soon as it can tell you're in a moving vehicle, it will make it so you can't do full screen stuff,
shut down to like a standby mode or something.
Yeah, or it'll be like the bottom corner, or it's like limited in how much you can use.
Yeah,
That's what I imagine. Also, because this is a little off topic, but I was thinking about the fact that it feeds in, it's showing you what it is capturing with the camera on the other side. Imagine hacking one of those, and finally I could have someone believe they're looking at ghosts. That's where my brain went.
That would be pretty amazing. It's the same ghost just keeps fucking with me. Won't leave me alone.
I can only see him if I wear the glasses.
Yeah. What are these? Some type of ghost goggles or something?
Yes, yes. I don't keep up with Black Mirror, but I feel like there's probably an episode that does that exact same thing. I know there's that one movie. Oh God, it's like a horror movie where this person gets like new eyes.
VHS.
That is from VHS.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
That's the skit in VHS where the guy gets the camera eye and he sees dead people.
Yes,
and it's and I just. I always remember it because I was like, man, this is such like an actually kind of interesting concept for like a horror movie. And then there's the scene where the chick shows up and he's like, oh my God, my dead grandpa, he's right here. What do I do to get him to go away? And she's like, just have sex with me. Then you can't focus on the ghost. And I was like, God damn it, VHS, you had me for like 80%. And then we really just dropped it on the back half here, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
It was gonna make him forget, you know.
He didn't get got by the ghost, so
boy howdy, did he ever forget?
Yeah. So the good news, bad news, he didn't get got by the ghost because he was too distracted to focus on the ghost. Bad news, the ghost of his grandpa just watched him have sex. So, like, you know, man,
jokes
I don't know.
On you, that was on his bucket list.
Yeah. Oh, my kink list has been satisfied.
I can finally watch my grandson have sex. I can move on.
Was holding me back this whole time.
That was his lingering regret. It's not the grandson.
I died watching you be a virgin.
Oh, man.
This is exactly what I needed to have happen. Now I can go ghost nut and get out of here.
I feel so fulfilled. Tyler, I'm pretty sure that the sex the sexual variation of the bucket list would just be called the fuck it list, right?
You know, at this point, I feel like I should say this isn't the ghost. This isn't the Ghostbusters I was downloading.
Hey.
Busted.
Okay, as soon as we were talking about like kinky bucket lists, as soon as you went,
Here we go. All right.
As soon as you went, I think it's a good time to start talking. I was like, oh my God, is Easy about to unveil a kink of his right on air?
Well, since we're talking about ghost fucking let me go ahead.
You guys, you'll never know.
Oh my God.
It's what we call a hot spot in the community, if you will.
Oh God. But anyway, so speaking of, speaking of a weight on your shoulders that's been lifted.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Any guesses? I've been fulfilled. You guys know or have any guess as to how much this thing weighs? And don't worry, I did the legwork and converted it to freedom units.
I'm so proud of you.
Appreciated.
7 pounds.
I know that Apple's gonna want to try to make this like a full-time utilization thing, and I know that this is also the first run at the model for this, but I'm gonna go 4.
Okay. It's 680 grams or 1.499 pounds.
Oh, damn. They've already gotten it down pretty good.
No way.
Yeah. It says
no
it's
way.
They said Apple's extended reality headset is meant as a bridge to future lightweight AR glasses. And it says it was like 400 something to 680 grams. Look it up. And I'm just like, oh, so it's even easier to steal.
Yeah, right.
Like a stiff breeze will carry that shit right off your face.
Well, no, because they're ski goggles, so it'll have that that'll have that ergonomic elastic band that sits comfortably behind your head.
Okay,
to
then
make sure
burn.
That you're fully engaged into your opaque viewing.
I like to call it opaque viewing.
I'm sure we all do.
To make sure that you can completely take the hangout for the evil developer to make a new hotel on the side of the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And kick all those rascally kids off your ski resort so that way you and your rich friends can continue to enjoy it like the good old days before the poors were let in.
I mean, if you could afford this, you might as well say before the poors were let in.
I'm just imagining an entire party of people wearing this and this being like, wow, isn't this so cool? Because hey, okay, let's get the consensus on this. How did we all feel about Google Glass?
I thought it was very gimmicky.
In what way?
Like, yeah, it'd be interesting to see stuff in your field of view, but from the way it was touted and you know displayed, it was all still on the glass itself. So you're having to read it that close, and I just don't think that they were 100% there with it.
Okay, Austin.
So I have a bit of a weird feeling, a mixed feeling about Google Glass as somebody who in 2013 had a roommate who was actually one of the beta testers for Google Glass, and I got to try Google Glass. It fucking sucked, dude. Google Glass was awful. It was so bad. Like, and the problem is that the way that they want it to be utilized is in a perfect environment in which the technology has been adopted into every facet of existence. That's the biggest problem that Apple Vision is also going to face, is that the external portion of this headset is going to have to be widely adopted to make it successful. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. It's going to work in whatever it's supposed to do in and of itself. But like the whole thing with Google Glass is that it was supposed to be like, you would be able to basically use it as like a always available Google search. So you could look at something and the Google Glass would register it. And then it would, like, one of the ones that they touted the most was being able to like look at a movie poster and then have a display come up of what time local theaters would be showing that movie and that type of thing. The problem is that you need external application to get to that, because Google could look at the picture and just go, this is a picture of a movie poster, but without some kind of QR code or scannable to feed back into the glass to tell it what it's supposed to be doing and what it's supposed to be running, you don't get anywhere with it. So with the Apple Vision Pro stuff, like, them wanting to make it an all-in-one computer that you wear, essentially, I think that from that standpoint, the tech could work. But from the AR implementation standpoint, there's going to be external factors that need to be taken into account. And I don't know how many people are going to be down to jump on board into that AR realm, considering how badly Google Glass went. Like, it's Google Glass is still touted as like the prime example of bad implementation of AR, and the fact that like public consumption for AR, the demand just isn't there.
Right.
Most of what Google Glass has turned into at this point has been more applications for other like hospital utilization, for doing scans and things like that, or being able to use it for like journalism, so you could have like, you know, wearable cameras to be able to record things with and stuff like that. But like, in terms of just a random person that wants to walk around with a Google permanently attached to their face, like, the demand for that just wasn't there. And Google Glass had a lower entry barrier than the fucking Apple Vision is going to. And on top of that, with Apple Vision, you're also going to have to be locked into the Apple ecosystem. And so if you don't want to be a part of that ecosystem, then there's just not an alternative to you for that. And I don't know. how much you guys keep up on the tech news side of things, but like, I have serious concerns about iOS being able to handle any of the things that Apple has said that this headset's gonna be able to do.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, iOS is not exactly a powerhouse of a platform, man. So,
that's true.
Well, I will say that one thing they did for this is they have an Apple M2 on there, which is meant to run like the OS,
mm-hmm.
And they created the Apple like R1, which is a processor that's supposed to like process sensor inputs and it says here delivering extremely low latency images to the display. So it's supposed to be the power it comes from that, uh-huh. because it's constantly feeding footage from outside to you with low latency.
Mm-hmm.
So and the idea that it's gonna run cool is hard for me to believe.
I mean, that just depends on like what resolution and like
4K.
Oh no!
All the time, 4K.
What?
Mm-mm.
How?
You know, that's a fantastic question. Oh, hey. Oh, also, you know what's the refresh rate on it?
Yeah. No, please tell me.
96 hertz.
4K 96, my favorite resolution. Let's go. Mm-mm-mm. You know, I feel like you could optimize a lot more of a realistic battery life or power necessity for this thing by just doing 1080-60, but I don't know.
I should say it's 4K as in like the resolution, but it's the refresh rate. Is gonna be 96.
Yeah, so it's a
not saying it's 4K 4000 by 96.
No, but it's 4K resolution at a 96 FPS, and like at that point, put it down to a 1080 resolution and bump it up to 144 hertz. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Like,
4K is where it's at.
Is
bro.
It?
That's what people just want, bro.
Is it? It's what people want because it's what's being touted right now as the thing to have.
It's two 4K displays.
Jeez, so it's 8K. So I'm looking at 8K as well.
No, it's because each eye has to interpret. Yeah.
No, you're saying that it's 8K at 96 FPS. Oh, is what you're telling me.
No, it's 8K at 192.
There you go. Uh-huh. Yep.
Hurts. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. That's true. Yep. That's true. That's true.
Remember, all in a 1 pound frame.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it runs cool.
Is there?
No. This does not hot. This is not hot air out. No.
Cool.
Hot air out. Easy. Mm-hmm. Is there? Mm-hmm. Is there anywhere by chance that it says what the expected battery life is on this thing?
Oh, so it's gonna come with. So it does have to be attached to a battery.
Mm.
The battery that it comes with runs for 2 hours. You know?
Wow.
You know?
That's less than a Switch. This thing has a less optimized battery life than a Nintendo Switch.
Well,
but
it's not playing video games constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it 4K? You know what?
The Switch is not 8K 192. Yeah. All right. So,
well, you know what else? You're just gonna have to cut those Zoom meetings down.
Yeah, Jesus.
Sorry guys, I can't attend the meeting. My only way of getting into the meeting is low.
I didn't put my charge on.
Does anybody happen to know, has Apple converted over to USB-C at this point, or are they still doing Lightning?
I think they're still doing Lightning.
So this one says the device can be powered by an external power supply, a USB-C port on a Mac, or a battery pack rated for 2 hours of use. So
it's going to be USB-C.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least thank God for that, because, man, the number of times that I've had people to this day still come over to my house and they're like, hey, I need to charge my phone. And I'm like, you got a USB-C? And they're like, no, it's Apple. And I'm like, Apple people, I'm going to put out a public service announcement
for all Apple people out there,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Take a fucking Lightning cable with you whenever you go out to go to somewhere, because guess what? Unless the person that you're going to hang out with is also an Apple user, which is not the majority of people, we don't have lightning cables for you. Please provide your own cable.
Is that what it's called?
It's yes, called the lightning cable.
It's called
cable.
A lightning cable, yeah.
Yes. Please provide your own, because every other one of my devices in my house, from my cell phone to my Switch to my PlayStation to most of the things that hook into my computer, are on a USB-C basis like the rest of the world. So if you could just please do us a favor and bring your own lightning cable, that would be just fantastic.
Oh, wow. And it says apparently when Apple released the 10th gen iPad in 2022, October 2022, it officially retired lightning from all new iPad models.
Oh, thank God. So they're finally converting over to USB-C as well.
Okay.
Thank you,
but it's going to be like USB-I, so you can only use it for Macs.
USB-A, and... USB Apple.
Oh, shit.
Oh, dang.
A-S-B.
Well, that was the next thing that I was going to bring up, because it's an Apple product. How many proprietary peripherals are they going to package with it?
So it's just, from my understanding, it's just the headset. Mm-hmm. And the battery pack is in the picture for it, so I'm assuming that's what it comes with. Also, you can get magnetic lenses for people with prescriptions.
Hey!
Wow.
Hey!
Blind people shouldn't be able to use this. This is for us normies.
Oh, jeez. It wasn't meant for the visually impaired.
Yeah,
exactly. 8K is not meant for you.
Yeah, if you need glasses, you can't see 8K anyway, so why are you even here?
Till I get my surgical augmentation of bird eyes so I can see with more rods and cones of color. 8K is not for me.
Well, the good news, Easy, to your point, is that if they're going to be utilizing USB-C as the standardized format for this, you should be able to pick up third-party equipment without an issue now. The bigger problem before with all the Apple, with all Apple third-party shit, is that you needed a lightning connector cable to be able to hook it into things in the first place. So if it's going to be running off of a USB-C port, hypothetically, you should be able to use third-party things without much issue, as long as it has the USB-C connector in, and you could just plug it into the port on the headset, and that should be able to be workable.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
but wait,
it's fucking Apple, so who's to really say at the end
of
the day?
That's my point of contention.
Yeah, I mean, all of this is all speculatory, because at the end of the day, it's still Apple. Guys, and Apple wants you to spend money on Apple things,
guys.
Yes.
Yeah, remember when I was talking about battery life?
Yes.
Due to weight constraints, Apple did not put a battery in the Apple Vision Pro. So the battery pack that goes in your pocket is the only thing that's keeping it on.
It's an external battery pack. It's not even connected to the headset.
Okay. Hold on. So what's the battery life on the pocket battery?
That's
the
2 hours.
The 2 hours.
That's the
So the pocket one is the 2 hour, and they have an external one that does what?
No. The Nothing? Battery is external.
Is like, external. Like, there's no battery in pack. The headset. If you don't have it plugged into the external battery or plugged into a PC or something permanently keeping it on, it doesn't work.
That's terrible.
There is no internalized battery.
Yeah, because when I was watching the videos, I was like, man, this design looks okay, but why does everybody have a cable running into their pockets? And I realize it's because of that.
I can't wait for the first lawsuit because somebody's shirt is caught on fire from the overheating of the battery pack.
That has to be where the heat is. The headset's running cool.
Yeah.
The battery, not so much.
Yeah, hot battery out, cool headset in.
Truth, my brother. I also am seeing, because I'll send the video, because in case y'all haven't already seen this, I'm watching people drape the cable from the battery pack like behind them. So I'm already seeing someone's getting snagged by this, or they're just, it's gonna be very uncomfy to sit on.
Or you're gonna have to put on some kind of backpack device.
Fun.
Oh, dude,
new Apple backpack.
There's a battery in the backpack.
Dude, the Apple strap.
Apple strap, the eye strap.
I strap on my apple.
Nice. Oh, hell nice. Yeah, brother. Appeal to the horny youths.
Only available during Pride Month. Let's go. I strap for apple.
Oh my God.
I strapple for apple.
I strapple the apple.
Strapple your apple today.
Oh, I love it.
Strapple this. With protection.
That's always been one of my major points of contention against Apple is like, you can have this, but it's only going to last for so long, and then you got to get some kind of new battery or something like that because it's going to start to fall apart.
My point of contention with Apple has always been, you can have this, which is going to cost you twice as much and be half as good as the normal version of this is, but it's proprietary, so you have to have this.
Mm.
That's my problem with Apple.
The one issue, really.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, if I could have one complaint
and I do but only this one, I'm realizing too that as we're talking about this, I'm gonna hazard a guess, I'm not thinking that anyone here in this call is particularly pro Apple.
Let me take a quick look at my Galaxy Flip real quick to see what it is. Not Apple time in this house. No,
I'm looking not. At I was my double Galaxy checking. Ultra S24.
Uh huh. Is it alerting you to the fact that it is indeed Apple time at your location, or?
No, it's just giving me the normal time for normal people.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and it's reminding me of my bank account that isn't currently drained because I'm not currently subscribed to Apple products or paying for anything. You know, this is all a smear podcast.
Seriously.
Yeah, you're being weirdly quiet over there, Easy. What's is it Apple time over?
Why is there a red dot with an Apple logo on my head?
They found out. Quick, take the shots.
Eye bullets.
Oh no, God. I can't fire my eye bullets because I didn't charge my eye gun.
My 2-hour battery pack on my rifle.
It's split in this household. That's all I'll say.
Split. I like in regards to a... your wife is the smart one, or
shots fired. Ouch.
Pick a side. We're a war, son.
We have some Apple products in this household.
Hey, Easy. After this is over, I'm gonna send you my phone number, and I want you to tell me what popular song you set my custom ringtone to on your phone. And I think that will help to establish what's actually going on here.
I do know that. I mean, I don't have one. I will never have one. Is an Apple Watch. My wife, however, does.
You're saying this with the gravity of someone who's like, they'll find me. I can't see them. They're in the house.
Guys, I'm blinking.
Oh, I see.
Repeatedly.
Oh, I get it. Oh, I see.
I love Apple.
I'm currently being haunted by Steve Jobs.
Sorry, man. You can outrun him. Just eat a steak and you're good.
Oh.
His turtleneck is 8K, guys. His turtleneck is
8K. Oh, God.
Oh, it's so high definition.
His ghost refresh rate.
Oh, wait, sorry, I can't see him. I have to equip my new battery pack real quick.
Oh, you know what? I wouldn't be able to see him in 8K because I wear corrective lenses. So,
you're too busy being a nerd.
You didn't buy the add-on to clip onto the front so you can see the ghost in 8K. Jesus.
Oh, my God.
His spirit is revolutionizing in front of me as we speak. Somebody help.
Somebody help! He's revolutionizing.
You know, since we've already crossed the Rubicon of Shadowrun After Dark,
sure.
The other thing that I could see that would, make things like this popular for your opaque privacy mode is other proprietary Apple products that are for, shall we say, more intimate entertainment.
Are you saying this as a thing it could be, or this is a thing that does exist?
I would say it's a thing that could be. Apple would never probably actually make it because they want to tout their family-friendly products. But
oh, you mean like the eye blow?
Yeah, exactly.
The eye job.
Oh, that's a good one. Get the official launch exclusive turtleneck edition.
Oh eye my job. God. I'm just imagining you're watching AR pornography and then an ad pops up.
Oh, fuck. Like right in the middle.
Oh god.
Guys, I didn't even think about the ad possibility of how terrible that would
we'll
be.
We'll get there. Oh, we'll get there. Oh my god. Oh, don't worry, we'll get there.
Oh, god.
We have to talk about AR sex now, though, because you brought the topic.
I opened the floodgates.
I thought we had been talking.
No, we had talked about just watching porn in your opaque privacy mode. But there's literally a possibility of AR, you know, where it's
We dipped the toe with the eye strap, if you will, and we could just we could just go from there.
I never leave that space, y'all.
Oh my god.
The coom cocoon.
The coom cocoon. The eye cocoon.
The eye cocoon.
I built it myself.
Oh no.
Oh man.
I will say they notably did not show like any like what was the term here? Metaverse? They did not show any like AR stuff or like the virtual
social
reality,
like a social stuff.
Yeah.
Like a social hub. Okay. So I'm really happy that you said something about this because I was thinking about this, when we first started talking about
I'm excited.
The product. Okay. If Apple was to launch its own metaverse styled AR community hub type platform, what would you call it?
Hey Chummers, if you're listening to this or watching it on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the channel and give us a thumbs up. If you are listening on Spotify or another podcast streaming service, please rate the episode and share it so we can get it out to the other like-minded Shadowrun individuals. You can also subscribe to our Patreon over at patreon.com/critical_hits. $5 a month gets you behind the scenes looks. Also, we'll put you in touch to be able to hear those Worm Talk episodes. And finally, you guys, down in the description, you will find an affiliate link for Drive-Thru RPG. It's got everything that you could possibly need over there. New RPGs, new modules, supplements, adventures. Whenever you're going to check out of Drive-Thru RPG, just drop that in to the affiliate link, and that would help us out in the long run. And with that, I thank you guys very much, and now let's get back to the show.
I guess I need some like examples.
Well, so like the metaverse, like how the metaverse is supposed to be like a platform where it is like a community space hub and stuff like that.
I've got the winner. I 100% have the winner.
Oh, okay.
Apple Core.
God damn you, because that was my answer. My answer was the core. My answer was the core. God damn it.
It's the most obvious choice.
It's the stupidest obvious choice. Of course, what Apple would take.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so good.
Welcome to the iCore.
Oh, you know what? It would sound exactly like that too.
It like sure would.
You turn it on and you enter into the iCore and it's just smug. I don't know what that would look like, or you know, I just think the Apple Vision would just be like, and now you're full dive into smug.
Smug.
We have registered your Apple account settings and you have pre-chosen that your Alexa's complexion voice would be smug.
it just goes back to that old South Park episode of them farting in glasses and just like
oh my god,
what's the is that the same as the Prius episode? Priuses run on smug.
Yes, they run on smug. Yes,
the carbon emission.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
But anyway, back to virtual sex.
Yes, how could I forget?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. I was saying that,
yes,
you know, obviously you have the opaque privacy mode where you're just watching in beautiful 8K, right? But at the same time, this is supposed to be touted as an augmented reality thing, so it has to be portrayed in just an empty space in front of you where you can watch it, and then having to interact with it would need peripherals where you get more money.
Okay, I see what we're saying here, and this brings to mind a question I had when we were talking about the family-friendly nature.
Mm-hmm,
if Apple were to create a subdivision or a company that is but is not associated with them, that was
shell company
specific, huh?
Shell company.
Well, I mean specifically like these things happen to work with Apple. It's an Apple company, but they can't say it is because they sell like adult products.
Yes,
like,
I know what you mean.
What do we think the company would be? Would it be another fruit name? Would it be like peach or something?
Banana.
Like, banana.
Eggplant. let's just make it as on the nose as we possibly could. I would hope not, because that would just be dumb. Like, that's one of those things where, like, somebody in Paul Marketing's like, you know what, this is a great idea. And nobody actually, like, focus tests this thought. And it would be really, really bad.
I'm just thinking,
call it fruit salad, and then your image is something like a banana and some apples or grapes or something to make it look
banana,
like balls,
peaches,
you know?
And an eggplant.
Yeah, exactly.
And mangoes
in a cornucopia of sorts. Yeah.
Yep, there you go, right there.
Cornucopia, if you will.
We're putting it together right now.
Okay, I have one that I would like to posit to bring us into the realm of not only the products that they would provide, but for on the nose marketing that would be able to still be a branch company that could be owned by the Apple Corp, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it should be called Sensations.
Ooh.
But it's Sinsationons.
Mm-hmm.
Sensations.
I see what you did there.
Because you want to fuck it.
Yes,
that's what we were going for.
Yeah, okay, cool. Just in case anybody wasn't following the plot of what we've been talking for the past 20 minutes.
This is going to sound like a serious question, but not. But
yeah,
in a more forward-facing, like, we're slowly crawling towards a sex-positive country.
God,
because this is going to be
forbid.
International. This is going to be international. And he will.
Yeah.
Not in my country.
Not in God's America, you won't, Tyler.
Not in God's Apple.
Wow.
Anyway, do you think that you could see them getting to a point where they're just like, hey, you know, we get it. People fuck. People buy our products and they also fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I being too hopeful that Apple's going to... okay.
Yes. Yes.
Also, it's going to be crashing back to reality.
I'm sorry. Evil corporation. No. Yes. Yes. 100%. You're expecting too much.
The problem is that even outside of the United States and the situations that we have here with that, like, even more sex positive countries aren't that boisterous about it. That's kind of the thing. Is it's like, even if you go to Europe, you know, it is much more just commonly known and had, but it's still kind of just like one of those unspeakable, like agreed upon things, you know, like everybody agrees about it, but nobody's still out there banging proverbially and literally banging the drum in this sense to be like, guys, sex, am I right? Come on. Like,
or come in.
Up top.
High five.
Come
all
on, face, neck, or chest.
Okay, now that you illustrated in such a specific way, I think you're right.
So I feel like because of that, it would still have to probably be some type of company that's owned, like Easy was saying, more of like almost like a shell company situation where it would be owned to distribute for that purposes, but Apple's never gonna come out in a shareholder meeting and go, guys, we're gonna sell sex. Like, that's, I don't see that happening. Regardless of being a global market or not, I just It's the unspoken taboo of sex, I think, more so than the spoken commerce of sex.
Gotcha, gotcha. So we're not seeing a peripheral third party thing.
Oh no, on that regard, I definitely think that we could see it, but I don't think that we would ever get Apple on a stage in a press conference.
Oh yeah, no.
With the tiny microphone earpiece on and going, "Ladies and gentlemen, the iBlow 2.0. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, no, I don't see that either.
We're not going to get that, but I could definitely see them still like doing it in the shadows, if you will, in order to be able to make the money off of it, but not have to necessarily be the guys out there being like, guys,
as a publicly facing company.
Yeah.
You know, actually, yeah, that stockholders are a thing.
They sure are, and they ruin most things that are otherwise great. So why not let this be one more tire on the fire?
You're pretty spot on there, I have to say.
I mean,
as someone who bought Diablo 4 at launch, let me tell you, baby, shareholders are the worst.
I remember when that game came out too, that I was like, oh man, everyone seems to be having so much fun. And I brought it up with you specifically, Austin. Uh-huh. And you were like, hey, you know what you can do? Not get Diablo.
do you remember what I said? I said, hey, you know what you should buy? Remnant 2. That's a good ass game. That is feature complete, not overly bloated, and not trying to fucking monetize you at every turn.
God, that's so true.
Yeah.
Megacorps.
I am just seeing it becoming a thing when we talk about like what's the term, planned obsolescence.
Yeah.
Of like, there's like a thing you have to pay a subscription for, otherwise there will be an incremental like millisecond every day or so, a millisecond delay will start accruing on your Apple Vision Pro. And it'll be slightly annoying at first, and then it'll be outright debilitating at a certain point. Because the idea, too, is that this 2024 model, the first one, is going to be in the United States, and then later on, like 2025, should be a more commercially available, cheaper one internationally. So I'm just trying to see, like...
Yeah, that makes sense.
What is this going to look like? Are we expecting this to make any sort of impact? I mean, I will say that we talk about them, we talk big game of them, but you know, Apple is a contributor to a lot of public consumption of technology and the perception of like where we're going with it. You know, I guess I'm trying to see like how, if anything, this will have some sort of impact on global consumerism when it comes to technology. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I totally understand.
I think that a large contributor to that is going to be the adoption rate. And not only the adoption rate in terms of how many people are going to buy this for personal use, but how many people are going to be actively trying to make things that will contribute to this product specifically. Because the other problem is that because it uses an entirely separate piece of hardware and all of the hardware things you were talking about, like the Apple RA and stuff like that, this is all entirely new hardware that I'm going to go out on a limb and assume most pre-existing Apple things are probably not going to just plug and play into this hardware. So there's going to have to be companies dedicated to making software for this product that's only going to be able to be utilized by this product because of the fact that it is the only thing that is going to be running on this hardware.
So, I see what you're saying.
So if there's not a wide enough adoption rate of people wanting to make things for this product, then it doesn't matter how many people buy them. It's just not going to last because there's not going to be anything to incentivize people to buy it who haven't already, or keep people using it that bought it on day one.
It isn't enough for a product to just be like working out the gates. There needs to be new stuff to go with it or new features to add to it.
Well, with this specific type of hardware, yes, absolutely. I think that because of the fact that this is something that's entirely new, you're going to get people that are going to buy it day one regardless. It doesn't matter what it comes out of the box with. It doesn't matter what gets utilized. But the longevity of this device is going to be based on the longevity of external support for the device. Because it doesn't matter how many people buy it day one. It matters how many people are still using it day 400.
Yeah, because the thing about it is it doesn't seem like it's a new... It's supposed to kind of integrate with Macs and phones and stuff like seamlessly. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that Apple does really well is have like seamless integration between their hardware.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, like, is this going to enhance the experience of being an Apple user, or are you just going to have it because it's kind of neat and like maybe use it at home? Because like we were talking about, I don't see people just walking out with these things. They look goofy, but they're also really, really goddamn expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if somebody's going to be trying to actually utilize this out in the real world, like without this type of technology being a widely available staple, like within the first 2 weeks of public launch, we're going to see our first news story of somebody was held up at gunpoint and they stole their Apple Vision Pro. Like it's just going to happen because it's too expensive a tech to use it for anything outside of sitting on my couch so I don't have to go turn on my computer, which is like kind of where this thing feels like it makes the most sense right now.
Yeah, because the thing is, they're touting as being very portable and you're supposed to be able to travel with it, but I don't see people leaving their home. Like you said, I don't see people leaving their homes with it.
Yeah.
And that Apple has a solid track record when it comes to aesthetics.
Uh-huh.
And that includes the vanity pieces and showing it off.
Yep.
So it kind of defeats the purpose if you have this thing that's super expensive, but you can't show it off because you're not going to leave the house with it. Because like Apple Watches are, you know, Apple products are what they are, whatever they cost, but you can at least wear them or show them off. You're not going to do that with this unless people come up to your house.
In regards to that statement of the vanity project thing, can I take us on a slight detour here for a second?
Whee! I'm ready.
I found out about something recently that I had no idea about, and I thought that it was kind of like the coolest thing, and I've been just wanting to talk to somebody else about it. Okay. Has everybody here seen Knives Out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For anybody that's listening to the podcast that hasn't seen it, this is going to be in regards to spoilers for the movie Knives Out. So if you don't want that, you're going to have to skip until we're not talking about it. I don't have a timestamp for you. I apologize. Anyway. So apparently, there's a thing in filmmaking called Apple lighting. And the concept of Apple lighting is that if any character in a movie or TV show uses an Apple product, it has to be displayed in the best lighting possible in order to show off the appearance of the product.
Really?
And so in the movie Knives Out, in order for it to be a pseudo early indicator as to who the killer in the movie is, there is only one character in the family who does not have an Apple phone. Who does not use an iPhone.
What?
And it is the character who is later revealed to be the killer in the movie.
Whoa.
And it is,
wow.
And
that's
it
supposed
is,
to make it stealthier because
and it's because anytime that he shows that character by themselves, he can put them in darker lighting in order to set a more menacing tone and feel for the character because
wow.
They do not need to be illuminated because of Apple lighting. Bro,
oh my god,
I was like, this is next level and I fucking love it, dude.
It sounds almost made up, but it's too specific to be made up.
And Rian Johnson is such a film nerd that like I totally believe that this is actually a real thing, like 100%. And I checked, he is, in fact, the only member of the family who does not use an iPhone.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
I love it. But so in the spectacle of the Apple products need to be shown off, now you guys know about Apple lighting.
So we won't expect a villain to be rocking a Vision Pro headset unless it's in brilliant lighting.
Yeah, yeah. Unless they're really trying to show off how cool and evil he looks.
Well, that's just wild. That's really all I could say to that is that's insane. That sounds made up, but it's not. And neither is this product. But yeah. I mean, I guess time will really tell. I'm interested in seeing where it goes. I know that we've been ragging on it, but just knowing that this kind of started around 2015, when Apple acquired Mateo, or I think it's Mateo, and seeing where we've come in that time, it's one of those where I'm almost excited to see if I'm going to eat crow on it being silly or not, because we laugh at it now and then we'll see where it goes if it actually has legs. But yeah, if Google Glass is anything to go off of, and that had a sleeker design, all things being said, like,
well, I will say this as well, because I did also pull up the page, so I have been looking at some other information on this while we've been talking about it. Mm-hmm. So first, they're making their own OS to operate on this separately from iOS, which is going to be called Vision OS. So with that being said, I do think that there is the possibility for it to be able to have the longevity, not having to be tethered to iOS updating as well. Because if they were trying to make sure that they could push things that are going to work across the spectrum for iMacs, iPads, iPhones, and the Vision Pro, like, the first three all exist within the same ecosystem relatively enough that that's not going to be a problem. But again, the hardware specifications of what needs to be created new for the Vision Pro just feels like that would just be a nightmare of them trying to manage both things, or all things running on the same thing at the same time. So the fact that they do have a specific OS that's going to just be dedicated to this, I do think is going to help them in the long run. Another thing is that in regards to this specific type of tech, I see this going the way of Google Glass, in the way that I feel like this is going to be more of a company-based utilization than it is going to be a personal-based utilization. But I do think that some of that could be for the better. One of the things that they talk about is using the finger tracking user interface with Magic Keyboard in order to be able to use it basically with a full AR keyboard and not have to have actual physical things. And I think that in regards to that, that brings up the possibility for a higher accessibility for people that maybe would have that, people that have, you know, like a neurological issue or something where they maybe aren't able to use standardized keyboards, being able to have eye tracking integrated with a AR keyboard gives them more access than they would otherwise have with a computer, without having to use like a text, like a, you know, like a speech to text or voice operated type of system for that. So I think that this type of AR implementation in a personal standpoint is going to be really cool to see from an accessibility wise, like how it's able to be beneficial for people that have disabilities that otherwise would have prevented them from being able to access this type of technology to begin with. Okay, I think that that has a potential to be really cool. And if it is successful in that standpoint, has the potential for other companies to start looking into the development of medical-based AR implementations for that to make things better across the board for accessibility.
And considering that, like you said, the vision-based interface with your hands, like, the fact that it's tracking your eyes as well, so that you could, in theory, just click with things with your eyes, would be insanely strong. And with it being Apple, it has more gravity to it than if it was just some like indie company kind of thing, because people are constantly trying to crib design ideas from Apple. So if they see this working, I'm seeing what you're saying. That is a very positive
or the best thing is that Apple gets it working and then just licenses out the engine, and then other companies can just rent the engine and just use it to make things themselves. So I even if Apple aren't the ones who specifically make the product, they have the potential to be able to enable somebody who wants to do that. And I think that that type of implementation is way cooler than just having a computer strapped to your face. Like the accessibility potential for AR is what I personally have always thought is the coolest thing for AR. Like the ability to be able to give people the chance to experience and operate tech that would otherwise just be inaccessible, I think is the coolest thing about tech.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, that's what you come here for, folks. You come for the sexiness. You come from the afterguard. You know, sometimes we like to look a little bit brighter into the future, as it were. But yeah, that's the Vision Pro in a nutshell that I can think about. Any other points y'all wanted to cover on this this here fun little ski mask?
Easy, how do you bring us back down to the negatives of Shadowrun reality?
Yeah.
That's scare true. Me. Can't get away without making those connections, can we? So one of the things that definitely comes to mind to get us back into the dystopian nature of the Shadowrun world is ad space. Ad space is going to be crazy. I mean, think about it from the theatrical release of Ready Player One, where they were talking about how much ad space they could actually sell before the user gets visually overloaded and almost goes into a seizure. And they said 80% of their visual space could just have ad pop-ups at any random time.
Now, take that and couple it with the thing that I was talking about earlier in regards to the implementation of the look and scan, right? So say that you're wearing your Apple Vision Pro and you're walking down the street and you're just using it in transparency mode, right? It's an active running mode because you're walking and trying to be, you know, like not a detriment to the rest of society, walking around blind with this fucking computer strapped to your face. So so as you're walking, you happen to walk by an Old Navy, and your Apple Pro external camera registers that you're walking by an Old Navy, and then, hey, right there on the right hand side of your vision, you just get that little pop up that goes, hey, by the way, Old Navy 30% sale this weekend.
Oh god,
if you want to go in there. And then as you take another two steps on the left hand side of the street, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. And on the left side of your peripheral, there's a little Dunkin' ad pops up and goes, hey, buy one get one free on all sprinkled donuts today as soon as you come into Dunkin'. And that's just walking down the street.
That's, you're not wrong. That's
just existing, because that's how Apple is going to monetize the runner mode of this product, by just being out in the world and utilizing it, because then they're going to make money off of you just being out there, basically wearing a mobile billboard for them at all times.
Oh god.
Yeah. I mean, well, not only that, think of all like the QR codes that could get put up as well that are just hidden in the image that you'd be looking at, so you couldn't even tell until it looked scanned, and then boom, pop up.
Yeah, or QR codes that are just going to auto register unless you have that. I mean, I would have to imagine that would hopefully be some type of like setting situation, but if not, like just auto resing or auto scanning QR codes. So you're just walking down the street, and then all of a sudden you have menus popping up in your face for restaurants that you're passing by, or, you know, just catalogs of anything that's like any type of fashion thing or something. Just everything just overwhelming you at all times, bombarding in. And if you turn that off, if that's even a feasible option, then what's the point of you wearing them out in the first place when you're out walking around? Because that was supposed to be the point of the implementation of Google Glass, is that it was supposed to be, but what if you had Google in your eye line at all times available to you to be able to scan and see things when you needed information on them? So if you have that function deactivated, then what's the point of that instead of just literally pulling out your phone and doing the same exact thing?
That's true. I mean, well, here it's straight. This is straight out of the most recent book. This is straight out of the 6th edition book. So when you enter augmented reality, whether you use an implanted image link AR-capable glasses, a data jack, or a technomancer's innate perception, your perspective on the world around you will change dramatically. The real world still exists, but virtual icons interact and overlap with it. A mechanic might use an AR display to provide a digital outline and manual for an engine to assist them with repairs. Entering a posh new restaurant, you may be greeted with a wine list and a menu, along with the day's specials. Hovering alongside you as you walk, an old warehouse can be turned into a vibrant dance club with bright icons and swirling glitter that have no physical substance. Like, that's the fun part to try to get you to, ooh, look at what you could overlay on just this drab building. It makes it pop and explode with color that isn't actually there. But if you have the augmented reality glasses, you can see them. But what it's not telling you is that, oh, but then literally everything that has an like a QR code or some kind of ad will always pop up into your field of view.
And you don't really have control over that?
No, it's saying
when you enter
in the restaurant, the menu pops up, the wine list pops up, and the day's specials kind of pop up. Now, it may not be directly in front of your vision. It could be down off to the side a little bit, but it's still entering into that visual space.
And that's definitely going to be one of the things that is going to be in the user agreement that nobody's going to read when they strap on the Vision Pro for the first time, where they're like, by the way, this is on all the time. You don't have the ability to disable this, and you agree to us sending you ads by wearing and utilizing this product. And everybody's just going to be like,
oh,
yep.
It's going to be taking in all the conversations that are happening around you.
Oh, yeah.
The music you're listening to.
Ooh. Yeah.
Boy.
Look, you're live spying for your government by wearing it, and you're paying for it. Yeah.
Yep.
100%. I mean, you're doing it right now if you have an Apple product.
In fact, you're doing it right now.
You're doing it right now if you have any product that has an inlaid microphone into it.
Yes, that's true.
By us talking into these mics to do this podcast, technically,
Someone somewhere is recording.
Zoom has all of our information that we've talked about, and then whoever big Zoom is and they're beholden to, you know, they have our data information about things that we've mentioned or talked to in order to get targeting ads sent back to our user accounts, inevitably on the platforms that they own as the parent company. Like, there's no getting away from that at this point. It's just, how much do you want to actively contribute to it? At this point, there's no not doing it. There's just, how much do you want to do it? That's the real question.
That's true. That's, I feel like that's the real hidden side of the whole thing too. You know, like, yeah, it sounds great and it sounds awesome. And it feels like it would make your reality that much more interesting. Right. Yeah. Like, oh, stuff pops and colors and explosions and things like that. It doesn't have to happen in the real world, but it's happening in the augmented overlay that's going over it. And it makes it look really awesome. And of course, bright colors and shiny things to distract you. And that's the fun part. And that's what'll draw people in to be interested. But at the underside of it, it's just a more streamlined way to collect your data and then use it to target you.
This is fine. I'm fine.
Everything is fine here.
Everything is capitalism, comrade.
And here we are back down to earth.
Captain Capitalism now
once again, to make things not as drab and dystopian, I think.
Okay.
Disrespectful all the time.
Cowardly.
I do think that there are other implementations of these things that are also going to be beneficial. Again, this is playing off of the fact that this gets widespread adoption, right? Supposing that all of this gets widespread adoption and utilization. As you know, one of the things that I think we saw as a real rise into prominence during 2020 with the pandemic and COVID and everything was people watching streaming more. Like, the Twitch boom of 2020 for sure was an absolute thing that happened because we all wanted that social interaction that we weren't getting because of the quarantine and COVID. And another part of that is also the utilization, or not the utilization, but the boom of VTubing. And I think that there is a potential for the Avatar side of things to give people that would otherwise be uncomfortable with social situations or interactions more of an availability to be able to have those types of relationships with people and be more sociable within that space. Because I've always thought that that is way more powerful of a utilization of that type of VR tech. You know, for like as much as people love to shit on VR chat and, you know, the ridiculousness of the things that happen in VR chat, I personally know quite a few people who are severely socially anxious and are introverted, but have a good group of friends that they're able to talk to in VR chat and hang out and spend time with in there. So I think that from a social standpoint, this type of technology is actually more beneficial in being able to give people like that the opportunity to be more sociable and make those types of relationships. Because I've never understood the argument of, well, more technology leads to people being less sociable because they spend more time on, you know, more time online. And it's like, that's very rarely the case in terms of what actually happens. Most of the time, if I'm online, I'm socializing with other people through Discord or us recording this or meeting each other or playing games online with people and my friends or random people that I make friendships with and, mm-hmm. you know, end up spending a lot of time with being able to play games in that way. So I've never understood this technology makes us less sociable people argument, because if anything, I think technology has made us more sociable because it's extended the amount of connections that we're able to have with each other.
Oh, this is a whole other podcast.
I mean, no, it is. Yeah,
that's
but I'm
definitely
but I'm
taking
just
it a whole other way. But I can see that.
I totally agree. See what you mean, though.
But yeah, I'm saying from the implementation of, like, if they were to set this up into being some type of social network environment, if they were mm-hmm. to put in some type of meta-like, you know, community world for utilization with the Vision Pro or anything of that nature, like I think that that type of tech integration is more helpful than it is damning towards that argument.
People are scared of the challenging of what they know.
Yeah,
reality, you know.
It's more of a grander picture, not specifically just in reference to the Vision Pro obviously, but I think it's more just a grander picture of technology like this, because of the fact that it would be an immersive experience, being seen as something that's going to cause people to pull back more from reality and interaction with people. Whereas in my own experience, people that are given the option to utilize this type of technology are more likely to be more sociable and make those connections easier without having to deal with the face-to-face that some people just don't enjoy doing. You know, there are people out there that just don't like talking to people face-to-face. And that's so like, and so this type of technology utilization, I think, is more of a benefit than it is something to necessarily be seen as a negative.
You got anything there, So Easy, if that is your real name?
So Negative Mode.
Oh,
wow. That hurts. It hurts right here.
Got it.
Right here in your cyber cortex.
Yes.
Oh, well,
cyber cortex.
I will also say, though, just to wrap it back around and have something else to shit on, though, Vision OS is still going to run Safari, so it's trash. That's it. That's my other. That's my one other thing. Yeah,
that was your one. That was your one other.
You need to go on a Safari to find a better OS.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, jeez.
Ayo. Yeah, it says in the notes on it, it says WebXR will be supported in Safari for Vision OS. So get out of here. Safari's trash. It's the worst browser. It's worse than Microsoft Edge.
That's just saying something.
It's saying something for sure. And on that lovely note, do we have any other remaining comments, questions, concerns, criticisms for our technological overlords?
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot of what this can do, how it can be beneficial, but at the same time, it'll probably be utilized for horrible corporate greed.
No.
You know, just the normal stuff. It has a dark side and a light side, but I feel like you're getting that with all technology anyway.
And at the end of the day, that's what this podcast is all about. That's what all of the internet's about. That's, you know, that's what you're going to get here on Shadowrunning on MT. That's what you're going to get here in Shadowrun in general.
That's true. You're going to get a little bit of everything.
Absolutely. Austin, any closing comments?
No, I just think, you know, it's going to be a basis of do we see the continued support for a product like this in terms of mainstream implementation for the layman to use?
Mm-hmm.
$3,500 is a pretty big barrier to entry, considering I can buy a PlayStation 5 for like six. So
says the lame man.
That's me.
Wow. He did it. He did
it. And with that proper, very sound owning. Ladies and gents, it has been a pleasure as always, guys, gals, and other pals, all listeners, ghouls of all ages for this podcast. My name's Tyler. That's Austin. That's Easy. This has been Critical Hits presents Shadowrun on MT, Shadowrun IRL, aka CHPCSROE. Oh, damn it. I already messed it up.
Oh my gosh.
IRL, six row closer, six row today. You're a dystopian future. And ladies and gents, remember in the far flung future of Shadowrun, sometimes life is stranger than science fiction. Goodbye.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to Critical Hits to use such names, logos, artwork, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Critical Hits in any official capacity whatsoever.